Guess what? It's time for Tech Talk from VoiceOver Body Shop. Boy, have we got a lot of stuff to show people tonight. Stuff from NAMM?
Yeah, we got NAMM. We got NAMM videos about DPA microphones as well as Aston microphones.
Very cool.
As my headphones fall off my head. We also answered tons of questions tonight from Rick McIver, Jay Harris Black, and we covered everything from booth design. Should you put a window in there? We talked about, what else? My gosh, there were so many questions. What kind of USB cable to use? How do you shop for mic preamps? On and on. A lot of good stuff.
You don't want to miss this. VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk coming up right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver Home Studio Master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to thrive, from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
You know what it's time for? It's
Tech
not
Talk.
It's not Howdy Doody time. It's Tech Talk time.
We need a cheesy jingle. Insert cheesy jingle.
I'm working on it. Within a couple of weeks, we'll have it. I need to get some more footage of you behind cabinets and things like that.
I'll produce it.
There you go. All right. Outstanding. So we went to NAMM, which stands for?
The National Association of Music Merchants.
Yeah. It's overwhelming.
Yes. It's a very lame name for a very exciting show. I mean, it is, if anybody's familiar with CES, this is like the CES of the music business. So it's tons of gear and lots to look at. Lots of people watching.
Lots of that.
Lots of music.
Bands
performances,
to hear.
Celebrity performers, rock stars, you name it. It's busting at the seams.
Yeah. Now, of course, it's the music industry and all of the stuff that we use in VoiceOver. Every last bit of it, with maybe a tiny percentage of stuff, is designed for making music.
Yeah, there's occasional products like this, like these headphones, you know, that Harlan designed. But everything kind of started as supporting music. And now we're finding, carving out little niches in that world for the VoiceOver world.
Right.
We found a couple of things.
You know, we used to think, there's nothing new under the sun. And you go to NAMM and it's like, well, maybe there's something different that might be useful.
It gets harder and harder. I mean, the more you go, the more you see the same stuff.
Right.
And the more you see people you know who you want to say hello to. And before you know it, after 10 years, you can barely get around the place. You're like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
So we work really hard to find new stuff. We found a couple of things.
We're going to highlight a couple of them tonight.
Microphone stuff.
But the rest of them, we're going to make sure that we talk every week about this for a couple of weeks. But all the stuff will be available on YouTube, so you can see some of that. But one of the first places we went, the second day, actually, was a company, DPA Microphones. Let's take a look at that one. And we're back at NAMM 2019 here in Anaheim. And last summer, I had the chance to work with
DPA microphones, a Danish company. They make great microphones, and they've got some stuff that might be very interesting to the voiceover crowd. And we're talking with Gabriel, who's a rep with them, and talk to us a little bit about the MMA program here with the app and how it can be used with voiceover.
Sure, be honored. So I'm Gabriel. It's a Danish professional audio, DPA. So Daniel, thanks for coming over to chat. The MMA-A is actually a two-channel analog-to-digital converter that can record of sample rates up to 96 kilohertz at 24-bit, so very high resolution for the microphones. It comes with an app that you download to your iPhone. It gives you four presets. It gives you a mono, a stereo, or a dual mode. It gives you gain. It gives you high-pass filtering. And it gives you a lock. So you can actually set this up in before your next event and lock out the video engineers.
Right.
Because you can set your audio and lock it out and keep it nice and pristine. And then you can open a third-party app, whether it be a video recording or an audio recording app.
Right.
And now trust that your DPA microphones are going to come in pure into the third app. It will now take over as the audio engine for the iPhone. It's also a core device, so it can mount on your PC or your Mac. You can use it as an interface for your Pro Tools or any software-driven platform.
Wow.
It'll take any of our microphones. It has a micro dock connector on here,
all right,
and the Thunderbolt connection to either USB or to the iPhone Thunderbolt. And you have two microphones. If you put one microphone in, it sums and it goes to both channels. If you put two microphone in, it senses that and it gives you the option for stereo or dual.
Wow.
Because sometimes in VO you may want a natural sound,
right,
and the voice sound. So you can do that, or you can go two microphones as a stereo recording device for field nats or something like that.
Right. And with a filter, like if you've got a high pass filter on there, if you're like in a closet in a hotel, you can get rid of some any rumble or anything that's going on.
Sure, it's going to bake right into the capsule. So if you're in front of a fan that's producing electronic hum, you can put these guys on, and then you'll get rid of some of that 60 cycle or whatever that is getting into the recording, so that your recording is more pure. Now, in the studio world, if you're at home in your VO studio, you can hook this up to your iPhone or your computer or your software, and you could use any of our microphones. You could use the Dedicate line, which is the larger capsules. The cardioids, the super cardioids, the omnis, doesn't matter. These are all modular, so they just unscrew. And then there's an active cable that actually takes it down to a micro dock connector. You can use the MMA, or you can put a wireless adapter on here and go wireless into a Shure or a Sennheiser system.
Right, right.
But the end message here is that you can use this line of microphones, you can use the headsets, you can use the 4060s, the Slims, basically any of our microphones except maybe for the De Facto, into your iPhone.
Yeah.
So it's super cool.
Wow, that is super cool. And they are great sounding microphones.
And the dynamic range is higher than any microphone that can fit in it. It's 114 decibels.
Wow, that's amazing. I was just so impressed with what these sounded like. And then you add the convenience of this. This is really special.
Yeah.
Gabriel, thanks so much for talking to us.
So, very welcome. Thank you. Bye, guys.
We were just talking to Sue, and she's like, I don't remember seeing them. And I said, you were there for
one day.
There's no way you would have caught every one of these vendors. I mean, there was a whole new hall. That was the North Hall that was new last year. And it's an entire huge building that if you don't know it's there, it's super easy.
And that's where
miss.
All the electronics was.
There was a lot of the Pro Audio was there.
Which is really what... You know,
so that rig, I could see it being really cool. I mean, I'm still wanting to try an ear set that's good enough for voiceover, to have the ultimate super lightweight portable rig that you can use anywhere.
Right. Well, the one we had last summer we used it here on the show actually for a couple of nights, and it was clear as a bell. I mean, you know, it's just out here. You're not going to get any pops or anything like that. It's a really nice headset microphone, and I know you've always been searching for that.
For one that sounds as good as the condenser mics we're used to, you've got to spend some pretty serious dough. Because
these aren't cheap microphones.
No, to make a capsule that's that tiny. I mean, the tip of the mic is like the size, it's like 2 millimeters.
Yeah.
it's very difficult to make them, and make them sound as quiet as these. That's a big thing. So yeah, these guys are the closest to doing that now. And, you know, I think the idea of doing long form work, e-learning or audiobooks or whatever,
with nothing in the way,
just where you're not locked into a mic placement the whole time, and just make yourself so much more comfortable. Yeah, don't you think?
Right. And the app they have with the interface, it's a really nice little modular system. Like we said, it's not cheap.
Were they announcing prices?
Well, the app is free.
The app's free, of course.
Right.
But the system,
you know, go online, check out DPA and see what they are. I mean, it's not super expensive, but about the same cost as, say, for a 416 or a TLM 103.
Right.
But a little bit more versatile, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you talked to the people at Aston Mics.
I did, yeah. Aston is a relatively newcomer. They've been around a couple of years. They're kind of known for their odd, looks like galvanized steel pipe microphone and their purple amphitheater looking reflection thing.
Right. I mean, they make some, and the grills are kind of wavy.
They make unique design, but this one falls outside of what we're used to seeing. And I thought it was really innovative. So here's the Aston Microphone Stealth Dynamic Mic.
Hey everybody, it's George the Tech here at NAMM 2019 Day 2, and we're digging in here with Aston Microphones, and a little something different from them. Here to tell me about it's Cliff. How you doing, Cliff?
I'm doing good.
Hey,
yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah.
Well, we are familiar with, from your last couple years, your Origin mics. I've heard them. They're really interesting, great-looking mics. They sound really nice. This is a totally different, you know, form factor. What's this?
It is.
What's unique about this mic?
So this is our first dynamic mic from Aston. And there's a lot of features with this that's going to be very competitive to the SM7B. First of all, it's top addressed here and has a built-in pop filter. The cool thing is that the capsule and the PCB is suspended by servothane hemispheres. So it keeps it afloat and you don't need any additional shock mount.
Nice, that's handy.
There's also a Class A mic pre built in. So it will auto-detect if you're running phantom power. So the cool thing is once that phantom power is running, you'll see that there's some purple LEDs here to indicate that the phantom power is on. Now, if you don't want those lights on, you could actually turn it off here. This little button here.
That's nice. You get the purple lights, but you can turn them off.
Yeah, it might be easier with the lights on. Yeah, but so that's just to indicate that the phantom power is running. So it's dynamic. So, of course, you don't need to use that phantom power. But it has that studio-grade quality, which is really remarkable. There's also a four-step voice in it. So it's like having four different mics in one. You have a voice one and a voice two. So based off of your vocals, whether it's soprano or baritone, you may just want to mess with it and see what works best for you. There's also a guitar setting, which is really unique because it actually works for acoustic and for electric guitars.
Okay.
So it's pretty universal. And then we finally have a dark setting, which is similar to a ribbon mic. It has a nice, rich, deep tone to it.
Wow.
Great for a kick drum. Gives you kind of a John Bonham style approach, I'd say.
Or in our world, where we do a lot of voiceover, it could give you that classic radio sound.
Absolutely. And this mic is ideal for podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a universal product.
Definitely. Well, it's something we might want to try out in the VO studio and see how relevant it is. We may be surprised by dynamic mic for the first time in a long time. Anyway, thanks, Cliff. Appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
So Cliff was one of the most professional presenters, wasn't he? He was very polished.
Actually, he was. Most of the guys there are pretty polished. But that's an interesting microphone for people to think about. Remember what the price point was on that?
If I recall, it was around $349. It was under $400.
Right.
That's a lot or a little. You know, it's all very relative. But, you know, if you can get two distinctly different voicings that could be useful for different things out of one mic.
Right.
It's kind of a twofer or more for one. It has four. Yeah. Mark's, it's a four voice mic. So that voice thing is it's changing analog circuit inside the electronics of the mic. So normally a dynamic mic has no electronics.
Right.
Normally dynamic is the simplest microphone there pretty much is this side of a ribbon mic.
Right.
It's just the diaphragm. And a couple of wires.
And a transformer.
A transformer and then the plug, and that's it. But this thing's way more going on.
It's what we call an active dynamic mic.
Yeah, it's a dynamic, but then inside it is a preamp.
Right.
That's powered on phantom power. And then I'm probably just repeating what he said, but, you know, it's just, it provides you that ability to get different sounds out of a dynamic mic without having to know how to do that.
Right.
I mean, yes, I can go to my EQ.
Light?
Yeah, it has a purple light. It has a purple light that lights up when you plug it in and the Phantom Power is on. But the fact that they actually made it so you could turn off the light, I thought that was pretty smart. I mean, not everybody's going to want a bright purple light.
I think the idea is that everybody wants that on the air light, which, of course, only we have.
It's true. It's true. You also see they always at Aston, they always have that reflection type thing that's designed to keep the microphone from picking up as much background noise.
Not really a voiceover device.
Yeah, and with that microphone, the whole idea of probably even thinking about using a dynamic mic is to try to reduce the amount of background pickup.
Right.
But I'm wondering, like a dynamic mic that is designed to be sensitive because it has a lot of gain, will that inherently pick up less background noise than an equivalent condenser mic? Like if you have them, if they're the same level, that's what I'm curious about that. That's going to be an interesting test. Right. So we'll
and there's
see.
Only one way to find out.
We have to just put it up in the studio.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, it's also important because, you know, we saw a lot of microphones there. I mean, you know, there were manufacturers I'd never seen before.
We'll say saw. We heard some of them. You can't tell what the heck really you're hearing at a trade show.
Right.
Like the noise floor, forget it. I mean, you're hearing in the background of all the
people. Yeah, but my voice sounded great on top of that.
you can't test a mic at this show.
The only place you can really, really test a mic is where you're going to use it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's kind of silly, you know, to go into a store and say, I like the way this sounds. It's like, it's not really what's important. You really have to try it in your own environment.
I used to actually walk around these trade shows with a handheld recorder and plug it into the mic. And then I thought it was real clever because I was recording myself. It was kind of pointless. Fun exercise, but pointless. But
yeah.
I just want to show you guys.
Show us the camera. This is the coolest thing.
At one point in the DPA video, the shot sort of like and went off to the side. So I've been learning how to use this new camera. Let me put it in front of my gray shirt so you can see it's so small that it almost disappears. I mean, I'll turn it off again and watch its little head. All right, here we go.
Looks like a character from Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know,
it is. It's like a little chicken head.
You should name it.
It does need a name. This thing is called the DJI Osmo Pocket, and it's a all the videos that you're going to see from NAMM were shot with this little camera.
I've seen that online.
The picture quality is...
It's all drone technology.
Stunning. Yeah. You
know, it's a gimbaled camera that will stay on spot.
Yeah. I mean, DJI, which was a no-name company 5 years ago, now makes a camera
they
so good
dominate
that they
the world
took
with,
it off the drone, put it on a little stick, and they sell it. And it's awesome. I mean, and the sound... Here's the deal. The sound from the whole thing was those two handheld mics.
Yeah.
That was going to a Tascam DR40 separate recorder. So we were doing this sort of old school
style. It was quite the rig.
Yeah. We had the audio going to my hip pack. When you watch them, the Sentrance Mic Port Pro video, there's a shot. You can see my purple and green hiking hip pack. Complete with mud stain from
really.
It's funny, but anyway, that's how we did it. I'm really happy with how it ended.
No,
it
looked great, you know, and we got some really good video. Anyway, we got lots of questions from our audience. We're going to get to those, so stay tuned for those here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, this is the time of the show where we get to thank our wonderful sponsor, Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, which is the premium way to connect your studio to other studios around the world with low latency and sample rate lock sync. Everything you send and stream over Source Connect will absolutely reach the other studio at the same time, every time, with no shifts in latency or anything weird going on with time stretching and things like this. This is an issue that happens with a lot of the other systems that work on web browsers. Source Connect is its own standalone application. It's rock solid, it's proven, and again, it's going to be requested by the top studios around the world. So if you want to play at that level and be ready to work with those big jobs that are using these studios, have Source Connect in your arsenal. Go get a 15-day free trial at source-elements.com. Get your iLock going, get everything ready to go. And then when that session comes in, you can say, I've got Source Connect. You can buy your license, activate it, and you're ready to go. Tell them we sent you. And we appreciate the support from Source Elements.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready, don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hey, everybody. It's time to talk about our great friend Harlan Hogan and his fabulous website, voiceoveressentials.com. And Harlan wanted me to tell you that this month, he's got a great feature going on voiceoveressentials.com. He's going to be answering a question a week about voiceover. Whether he gives you the right answer or not is a whole nother deal. But it's going to be followed by a review entitled Crap I Bought on the Internet. And he's starting off with an item, which is a shotgun mic mount for $2.60 for free delivery. Okay, that's interesting. And then in June, Harlan will present his annual top 10 recorded on the road tips. Like, if you're in a hotel, go out in the hallway and unplug the Coke machine. Anyway, Harlan knows more about voiceover than just about anybody, and he has more stuff made for voiceover than anybody in the business. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com where you'll find great stuff like the Harlan Hogan VO1A voice-optimized mic for voiceover. It's the only microphone really made for voiceover, designed by Harlan Hogan himself, and you can get it there. And at a great price, it's at a great price point. The best place to go to voiceoveressentials.com is to go to the bottom of our homepage. Find the picture of Harlan Hogan talking into his Portabooth Pro. Click on it. It will take you there. It'll let him know that you saw this message on VoiceOver Body Shop, and he'll be thrilled to tears. Anyway, go to voiceoveressentials.com to get all your voiceover stuff. Thanks for being our sponsor for 8 years, Harlan. Yes, and we are back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. Important to note, the people need to understand what we do.
Right. We don't just walk around shooting videos of cool gear.
Yeah.
I mean I'd like to do that. Yeah, I would like to do that for a living. I wouldn't be so bad, but it's not how we make a living.
No. One of the most important things you need to have as a voice actor today is a home voiceover studio.
After you have the training.
After you have the training with great people like Mark Cashman and some of the other great coaches we have.
Yeah.
But you have to have a home studio in 2019 and 2020 and 2021. And, you know, it's getting easier, but not everybody really understands all the specific, particular little tiny things that you have to understand to have a home voiceover studio. And there aren't a whole lot of people that really understand it because they're all experts in one studio, their own.
Right. Or music studios, which have different kind of requirements.
Definitely different.
You know, you can't just fix everything with a plug-in. We're getting there with plug-ins. I know, Isotope, this and that, but you still can't fix a bad-sounding booth. Sounds like you're in a hollow box. It's going to stay that way.
Yeah.
Can't fix it in the mix.
So if you need to learn how, or you want to build a new studio for yourself, or you really want to find the best spot in your house and set it up properly so it's set it and forget it, and you just hit your record button and go, you got to talk to one of us guys, which is a really Eastern way of saying, one of us guys.
One of us guys.
Yes. You could talk to me, or you could talk to George. And if you want to talk to George and consult with him, where would they go?
You can head over to georgethetech.com, or if you like the shorter domains, you can go to georgethe.tech. I like that short domain, but a lot of people are like, hey. So georgethetech.com works. Anyway, there's a menu on there with a lot of different services. You can book me by schedule, time, or you can do flat rate services like processing stacks or a sound check. And Dan calls his sound check something different over at his website,
which is homevoiceoverstudio.com. Yeah, I have a specimen collection cup there. You click on that, it's a Dropbox. And, you know, for $25, I will analyze your audio. I had a lot of that this week.
Please, audio only, folks.
Yes, audio only. Yeah, that causes some other problems. But if you really want to see what your audio is sounding like or what it's supposed to sound like, whistle.
Right. From the perspective of
people who know what it's supposed to sound like.
Thousands of raw audio studios. Not demos, but real
audio.
The way audio comes out of a studio.
The way it's supposed to come out. Check me out over at homevoiceoverstudio.com and set up a consult or let me check your audio. And let's get you sounding the way you're supposed to sound and not guessing at it. Because I think a lot of people make is they're like, I sound great. When in reality, you don't hire you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not doing this to please your own ears.
Also, you don't know if what you're monitoring yourself through is truly accurate or what is going to translate to the real world.
Exactly.
Sounds great in my speakers. Doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah. Well, we got a couple of questions here. And the first one is from Rick McIver. Well, if he's MacIver, he should know what he's already doing. It's no problem.
That joke.
I have a question.
About booth design. In an effort to make my recording environment as quiet as possible, is it better to build a window in my booth and stick my monitor outside to reduce noise, or keep the wall solid and put the monitor inside the booth? What is the isolation trade-off of a window versus monitor noise inside the booth? That's interesting.
Yes. Now, as someone who's written an actual white paper for the National Association of Broadcasters and presented it at the NAB, I'll let you take the first step.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Well, I mean, if windows are expensive, I was just talking to a client about this today.
You know, these are kind of expensive.
Yeah, he was like, I want to put windows all along this one wall, you know? And I'm like, hey, he's like, is that going to be a problem? No. Sound-wise, you can deal with just about anything. If you have the money, you can buy heavy enough glass. So you can get rid of the noise of the noise that comes through the glass, if you get the right glass, all this kind of stuff. But glass per square foot is way more expensive than wood or drywall.
Especially double-pane glass, exactly. Which you're going to need for soundproofing.
Yeah. So if you're not super claustrophobic, you can do away with the window inside the booth and just have a monitor inside the booth. And there's no concern anymore of noise from the monitor. Old monitors could have a whining noise, or all the new monitors are LED backlight. They should be, unless something's wrong with the monitor, they should be totally silent.
Right. And they're not glass. The surface of these things is like soft. I mean, you touch it, it moves.
Yeah.
And that actually absorbs a lot of the sound, so it doesn't reflect around quite the same way.
It can still reflect high frequency a little bit, so you can just carefully angle it, and you can fix that very easily. So, I would go with the no-window monitor in the booth.
All right.
If you want to get really clever, put a camera outside the booth.
Yeah. Oh, look,
you can
see
what's going on.
That's right. You know, I mean, if you spend a lot of time in your studio or in the booth, I can see where you might want to get a little, sunlight and stuff.
If you're in there all day.
Yeah, but not everybody's doing that.
No,
you're in there for 30 seconds at a time.
Get out.
Get in, get out, go outside, listen to the birds, that sort of thing. Brian Ahrens asks, a very strange tech problem happened in my studio the other day, and I'm hoping you can help me solve it. The tip of my headphone jack, or rather the 1/8 to 1/4-inch jack adapter, broke off in the headphone port of my Yamaha AG03 when I was removing the jack. And now that loose tip is stuck in there at such an angle I can rattle it, but I can't get it out. I've tried fishing it out with bent paper clips, but had no luck. As it is, it's physically preventing me from inserting a new headphone jack all the way into the port, and is so preventing me from getting a solid connection, meaning I can usually only hear in one ear. So I'd like to get it out. Will removing the back of the AG03 give me access to this space so I can get it out? And if so, is it safe for someone like me, like him, to attempt, who is careful but highly ignorant about how these machines actually work? Well, first off,
have you ever cracked yours open?
I certainly have.
Okay.
But I'm
what
someone.
What did you find?
What did I find? I actually, the same thing happened to me on my AG03.
Is it serviceable?
No, it's not. Because it's all solid state. And what they use for the headphone connections, the jacks, are these plastic modules that
They're soldered into a PCB, right? A green piece of plastic that's the circuit board.
So I took it apart thinking, well, you know, maybe I could solder. I mean, heck, I built a microphone. I should be able to. No, this is not happening. You know, most of these interfaces are fairly disposable. The problem.
That's true at this price.
Yeah. The problem he's having, and the same problem I had, was that the when you've got a jack stuck in there, it turns off
one
of the other.
The other one. I was going to say it's got another headphone jack, but
it's still getting.
It interrupts the signal to the.
I was finally able to pull the one out, but you know it was broken. There's a plastic thing on the end, and I because you walk away, you know, and it happens. You forget you're wearing headphones, which is why I don't like wearing headphones. Anyway, I was able to fish it out, and I was able to get stereo back, and just using the quarter inch phones out. It has two. Headphone outs on it.
It does. It's got a mini jack too.
Right.
Which would be even more fragile.
Right. So taking it apart ain't going to help you.
Yeah. At that price, having a spare is probably the way to go. I hate to say it. This stuff is not built to be serviceable.
Anymore. I got lots of spares. You know, I buy a new interface. Like, well, I got a backup. You know, so it's.
People spend more for one vacuum tube than that whole thing costs. So, you know, it all depends on what you're looking at.
Why would you use a vacuum?
Let me read off that way. That way I'm not off mic when I read.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right, let's see here. The questions are, there we are.
From Jay Harris?
I believe so.
Jay Harris Black says, hey, Jay. I have Universal Audio Apollo Duo, which is a very popular interface, a 416 and a 416 mic. So basic combination everybody uses, works well. George and Dan, are there any plugins that you would recommend that I get, or should I just keep it simple? You've watched the show, right? You know what he's going to say. Are there any settings on the unit you would recommend? You don't need to do any processing on the Apollo at all if you're doing post-processing.
Right.
So if you're doing auditions and you want to get a little post-processing, use what you already have set up in your DAW. Chances are you've already worked with Dan or I and had some processing set up, but if you hadn't, that's the way to go. Have a stack or rack made that gets you a sound for your auditions that you like.
That's supposed to sound the way it's supposed to sound, not the way you like.
The way you think it should sound.
Right.
And the thing is, if you do it on the Duo, we can. I've set up plot processing for folks on the Apollo for many, many people. And I always do it with a disclaimer. Like now, once this is set up on the Apollo, you're married to this thing because that is your sound now. And that processing chain that's in there is... You got to use it. If you go travel, guess what? You got to bring that thing with you wherever you go. It's part of your sound. So if you're going to do that, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, which would probably be doing a lot of IPTL sessions or ISDN and Source Connect where you want to kind of already process the sound just the right amount for that kind of work. But no, I really wouldn't. I mean, it comes with bundled with pretty much everything I would want.
There's nothing you cannot do with that. But it's not designed for voiceover.
Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I've set up the API Vision for folks with the expanders and blah, blah, blah. That one's useful, but, you know, you don't need a lot of that stuff if you're already doing it in post. So.
Right. And if you don't know what something does, don't use it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't hear what it's doing or you don't know why that knob does that thing, unless you can hear the difference, you probably don't want to mess with it too much because you're going to get to make a mess out of it.
Next question from Steve Hufford. Two questions. Have you heard anything about Audition getting Punch and Roll? Now, we had Duren Gleaves on here from Adobe a couple months ago.
Right.
I think we asked him that, and he said no.
No, it's still not happening.
Yeah.
There's in multi-track mode, you can. There's a guy that, do you remember?
Somebody wrote a script.
What's that?
Larry Hudson.
Has a script.
Stephen J. Cohen.
Stephen J. Cohen. There's at least those aren't the names I'm thinking of. There's another guy that wrote an actual plugin that actually loads in Audition. It's a little pop-up window.
Yeah.
That does. There's a lot of add-ons, but I don't think it's natively has it yet.
Yeah. I think some people need to understand that they don't have to use just one program. Because you can use something simple like Ocean Audio or Audacity or something like that. Just record the track and then import it into Audition, and then you can do your editing and all that stuff there. And that's a lot simpler. Don't just like, well, I love what people say. It's such a pain to try and move it from one program to another. Click.
It's not, come on, I mean, kids. It's not, especially when trying to do that same thing in another program is much more difficult. In that case, audiobooks tends to be the workflow that people get the most, you know, caught up on. And I say record in whatever you want and edit in this other thing that works better.
Right.
Or like Twisted Wave has got kick butt batch processing. So if you're doing e-learning, record in whatever you want, Pro Tools, Reaper, whatever, and then bring it into Twisted Wave. So absolutely, don't be stuck on one program.
Or vice versa. Let's see here. He says, second question, can RX6 or 7, which is made by Isotope, which is a sound cleaning device program, match background sounds and or voice to insert a new phrase into a previously recorded script? Now, that's a little bit more sophisticated. Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to insert something into something else, it's really not rocket science, especially if you're doing multi-tracking. Because you can take the original sound, copy it, generally a room tone or something like that, and just deposit it in another, you know, in another track in the timeline.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would take some of the original room tone and lay it underneath the thing that you dub.
Right.
If you're trying to keep a consistent room tone. I mean, that's just a truism for any kind of audio editing for voiceover, especially audiobooks where you're going to have a lot of edits, but you never want the room tone to change. Keep the room tone consistent that way. But the idea that a plugin could store the room tone and kind of automatically put it in, that's actually an interesting concept. I don't know.
Yeah.
It does a ton of stuff. Maybe the advanced version does it. I don't know.
Well, we'll try that. Mm. Let's see here. Carl G. asks, in order to move my computer from the booth, I had to use a generic 3M USB cable to my 2i2, just like everybody else. I've just upgraded to an Audion ID14, which I love, and wondering if there's a value to upgrading the cable within reason. So, cables...
With digital audio, like USB, it works or it doesn't?
Doesn't, yeah.
I mean, generally speaking, that's the case. So, if it's working fine, then just keep using it. And if it's causing you trouble, then change it. I can tell you, USB is really persnickety over longer distances, so... Make sure, you know, if you have one good long cable and it's reliable for you, then stick with it.
A 12-foot USB cable. I used to have one in my old studio.
Yeah, I think Shure mics came with a 12 or a 15-foot USB cable.
Yeah.
That's about as far as you can go without having to get some interesting gadgets to extend it.
Right.
With an active extender or this or that, you know, right.
It doesn't affect the sound. The only thing it'll affect is its connectivity more than anything else. Things will blank out.
Yeah, when it's in a long distance, the device may not get enough power or something weird like that.
Jamie Dawson asks,
McDowell.
I need a new mic preamp setup. What's the best way to test it out? What's the best fit for me?
Well, what do you want it for?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you trying to do with that thing? Is it just a utility to boost the signal of your mic? And is the interface you're already using not doing that well? Because like the ones built into the 2i2, the ID14.
Outstanding.
The Apollo, the mixer face, on and on, the Steinbergs. All those mic preamps work perfectly fine. Like there's no production engineer who's going to listen to your audio and go, well, the preamp's kind of fuzzy sounding. Unless something's wrong with your gear, they're not going to hear it.
Yeah.
So, in terms of shopping for mic preamps, I'm assuming you're asking because you're ready to buy a high-end mic preamp. And if you're buying cheap mic preamps, there's no point whatsoever. So get ready to start spending, honestly, at minimum $1,000.
More than you're spending on your mic.
Probably. Because if you're shopping for mic preamps, you're looking for something that's different than what you already have built into the interface. What's already in the interface is clean gain with minimal distortion.
Right.
Now you're looking for something that has something else,
right?
Character, some kind of something to it, like a thickening or a distortion or tube distortion or something like that. You know,
they just want to hear you as you exist, not you with all this other stuff. And if you're going to, I mean, there are some guys, I mean, some of the promo guys who we can count on the fingers on one hand, who need this stuff, who are doing stuff somewhat live because they're recording it directly to another studio. And they're like, okay, good to go. That's a very small niche of
people.
Don't worry about that stuff. Until they ask you to start doing that, don't worry about it. In the meantime, any good average interface like the 2i2, any of the Focusrites or the Audience or the Universals, the Arrow and they all sound, they're just making ones and zeros, guys.
Boy, these are, if you're doing a mic preamp shootout, you're going to have a really good ear to hear the differences. The differences are subtle. They're very subtle to the layman or to someone who's a non-engineer.
Right.
To an engineer, these are shades of mauve. That's my analogy I always use. The differences are really subtle.
Okay. We got two more questions here. Brian Jester asks again, weird, I know, but I have a need to have a two mic setup locations running into the same computer. I have two Focusrites. Is there a way to run both at the same time without unplugging one and unplugging the other in? Thanks, guys. Adobe Audition is my software.
So I need to have two mic setup locations running in the same
computer. Now, is he using like one with one microphone, like a solo, or has he got a 2i2, in which case you plug both mics in?
Yes, he's have two mic locations. So he's got two mics with their own interfaces. Each one has a Focusrite.
Right.
Going to the same computer. Well, it just in Adobe, you just tell it which of the two you're using.
Right.
I don't know how Adobe will differentiate which is which, since there's two.
Right.
And they have the same, they're the same model. So maybe it says one in parentheses, two in parentheses, or somehow Audition's going to differentiate that you have two of them.
Right. You got to go into the setup and into the audio MIDI in the hardware and say this channel here, that channel there.
Yeah, you're going to choose which of the hardware is going to be. It's not that hard. It probably takes just as long to literally switch the two USB cables.
Or just get a small mixer.
Yeah, you could do it that way. I mean, if you don't want to buy anything else, then it's probably just as fast to switch the two cables, honestly. Cause otherwise, you go into Audition, you open to preferences, you go into hardware, you choose the sound, other sound driver for the other. You know, it takes probably just as long to do it that way.
Yeah, okay. Last question from Devox. Interested in getting off the Apple Microsoft treadmills today or in the near future? Can you address using Linux for VO? All yours.
No.
It's for geek. Here's the thing. You know, we're not geeks. Well, maybe George is a geek, but, you know, it's...
I'm not a Linux geek, I can tell you that.
Well, that's good.
Linux.
Linux. Right.
I'm that much of a geek that I know how to say it.
Yeah, the fact is that if you're an audio geek, that's got nothing to do with voiceover, because audio geeks don't hire voice talent. I mean, there might be a few, but they're certainly in the minority. Most of them are listening on a laptop speaker, and they really don't know the difference. Doesn't mean that you buy lousy stuff or cheap stuff. You get good stuff, but the subtleties between some of these things is so minor that nobody can really tell the difference. So stop overthinking your home voiceover studio.
Every time you're thinking about an alternative operating system outside of the two big ones is, you know, you're getting into territory of, are you going to support this yourself? And if you're not, who do you know who's going to support this system now that you've hacked together using some build of Linux from some guy, whatever. It's going to be tough. I mean, we used to run our show on a Mac that was a Hackintosh.
Yeah.
So it was running a Mac OS on a Windows PC that we had built.
It was
a
disaster.
And it worked fine until it didn't. And then getting support was a nightmare.
Really?
It sucked. It was terrible. Right. But yes, you can run Audacity on Linux or Linux. There's a lot of audio hardware that will work on Linux. It can't be anything fancy like the Apollo.
Right.
If it uses a custom driver thing like the Apollo, not going to happen.
Yeah.
If it's one of those plug-and-play devices like a USB headset or a USB mic, that'll probably work in Linux.
Most likely.
So,
all right.
You can start there and start dabbling. Have fun.
Super. Great questions, guys. Tech Talk is fun. I like doing it this way. All right. We'll be right back after these. As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use.
You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
Ooh, I think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Bean old body shop.
And we're back. God, I love doing this show.
Especially when we get that kind of engagement from the audience.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot more rewarding
for us. It really does. Next week on this show, I'm not exactly sure who our guest is next week, because we're not on next week. We do the Tech Talk again next week. And then we have another live guest.
We got a few people
lined up
in the queue, but we're getting them confirmed.
That's
so stay
right.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we'll be letting you know about that. Who are our donors of the week?
Let's go take a look. We have a lot of folks who donate on a regular basis using our YouTube link. It's right on the website, and they can subscribe and send these in regularly. And people like, oh, well, Maria's is not a subscription. I can tell you by the amount that she sent today.
Nice of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maria. She sent a donation. Andrew Kaufman, he's a subscriber, sends a little bit every month. Rick McIver, thanks, Rick. You know, I think he probably sent us a little bit of money because we answered his question. Which
what a
is,
guy.
You know,
we appreciate
really,
it.
Yeah, it's like a little tip. We thank. Thank you. John Griffith, Martha Kahn. Hi, Martha. Saw her at NAMM, by the way.
Yes, we did.
Martha, that was fun. Shana Pennington Baird, and I'm going to say it again because she's here. Shana Pennington Baird. Shana. That name, man, that's a pain in the neck. What's are you waving? Oh, because our technical director is waving to herself. I think we've used up the oxygen in the room. Antland Productions. Andrew Kaufman, I already said his name. Joseph Valentinetti, Stephanie Sutherland, and Diana Birdsall.
All right.
All names that we've seen many times before. We thank you for your ongoing support.
Yes. Hey, show us your booths.
Yeah, like, we want some new ones.
Whose palace is this behind us today?
Yeah, this is Mike McCall. Did his studio maybe 5 or 6 years ago in the Studio City area. It is awesome.
Almost as nice as this.
The best thing about it is the booth, the desk, which you can't really tell from this, but the desk is like right in the middle of the room. You can walk entirely around it and never trip on a cable because everything comes up from the floor in the middle.
That's the way it should
be. This is the coolest space. But anyway, yeah, but you guys should send in your photos. Send them in landscape and try to get them.
Not portrait, landscape.
Enough lighting so we can see what's in the photo. We got a couple in there. Sometimes they're really dark, kind of hard to make out what's in the shot. And I know it's not easy when your studio's small to get an image that looks good, but keep trying. We will use the ones that look good.
Yeah, send them into theguys@vobs.tv. We're on alternate Mondays now. So, you know.
We do our live taping on the first Monday generally, and then the third
Monday.
And then we run our tech segment, the Tech Talk.
Right.
On the other Monday. But if you come in live, you'll see both as we tape them together as
right.
we did tonight.
Exactly. And if you want to be in our studio audience, like these fine people are tonight, let's have that audience cam shot again. You could be here. Same thing. Write to theguys at VOBS.TV. We need to, of course, thank our sponsors like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
We also have on the tablet, you remember? Mr. VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo.
.com. And voiceactorwebsites.com. And, of course,
J. Michael Collins Demos.
Great guy.
I should have memorized that by now. But
after a couple of years.
We've had the same slew of sponsors for a while, which is very amazing.
Yeah. We also need to thank the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the betterment of live webcasting. Our producer, Catherine. I know. Producer Catherine Curden, Mike Merlino for doing great chat room.
Thanks, Mike.
He's getting the hang of that. We really like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, our amazing technical director who's just got it together.
She's dialing
and she likes to wave to herself. Sue Merlino. We really appreciate that. And of course, Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, this isn't an easy business, and we're here to help you out. And what we really want to do is make you sound good, because when you sound good,
you is good.
I think that's the way it goes.
Each
anyway,
week we say it differently.
This doesn't really matter. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Have a great week, everybody. Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the home studio master at homevoiceoverstudio.com.